mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the Findlay Parks and Recreation Department wants your family to keep active, keep healthy this summer. And to that end, the first of the Summer Connect events is coming up this week. Fun for all ages. Also this morning, to your health, more than 800,000 Americans will have a stroke this year, including a growing number of young people. Do you know how to recognize the warning signs and what to do? And celebrating history with a twist, among other things, in the month of June at the Hancock Historical Museum. Sarah Foltz will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. Big news. Maybe the biggest news of the day. You may be excited for this. McDonald's is bringing back the snack wrap. It will reappear on the menu beginning next month. The popular item featuring chicken, lettuce, cheese, and sauce wrapped in a tortilla will once again be on the menu starting July 10th. The snack wrap was removed from the menu in 2016, and fans have been calling for its return ever since. In a social media post, the person, whoever runs the McDonald's account, said that snack wrap fans are responsible for its return. This is by public demand. They said fans' comments, petitions, and tweets created a movement so powerful that you finally won. So, fan of the McDonald's snack wrap, you will be happy to know that the company has acquiesced to your request, and it will be back on the menu beginning July 10th. Big, big news this morning. So I want to make sure that I start with the important stuff. Elsewhere, among the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, the first things you need to know. Get your days. I didn't know that they could do this, but apparently the U.S. Supreme Court has banned nearly a dozen baby names. Did you know they could do this? I had no idea that the Supreme Court had the power to ban certain baby names. But according to the website usbirthcertificates.com, the names King, Queen, and Jesus Christ are all illegal in the United States. You can't name your kid King, Queen, or Jesus Christ, apparently. New parents should also avoid naming their kids Santa Claus, Majesty, Adolf Hitler. Yeah, that probably is not a... That one I can... I can understand. Probably don't want to name your kid after Hitler. You cannot, or you should not, name your kid... give your kid a Roman numeral name. Now it's okay, Joe Smith the Third or Joe Smith the Fourth, and those are usually done via Roman numerals, but just using a Roman numeral by itself is not advisable, since those are not up to snuff with the U.S. government as well. Rounding out the list of banned names, Nutella, like the nut butter spread. Why would you name your kid Nutella? Messiah, that's right up there with Jesus Christ, is names that you can't give your kid. Messiah. Don't name your kid with the at symbol, like in your email address, and the number 1069. Okay? Each state follows its own set of name guidelines, but they also typically ban numerals, emoji, and special characters from baby names. But these are, like, according to the Supreme Court, you can't name your kid... Why can't you name your kid King or Queen? I don't get that one, but some of those I certainly understand, but some of them are a little... out there. I had no idea that the Supreme Court could weigh in on something like that. How do you feel about that? The Supreme Court telling parents what they can or cannot name their kids. No. Every day we have to have a doom and gloom story, and it's almost to the point where you look forward to it. Because you know that there's some story in the headlines that we, you know, they want you to be worried about or fearful of or concerned over, kind of wringing your hands, we're all going to die, society is doomed story. Here is today's doom and gloom item. Researchers looked at hundreds of newlywed couples and found that when one spouse had trouble sleeping and poor mental health, the other partner suffered similar symptoms 6 months later. They have concluded that, and I don't know, this seems like a stretch to me, but they concluded from that finding that kissing could spread depression and anxiety. Kissing could spread depression and anxiety. They think bacteria transmitted by the depressed partner could be to blame. The findings were published in the journal Exploratory Research and Hypothesis in Medicine. The journal Exploratory Research and Hypothesis in Medicine, which I never miss an issue. I look forward to it every month. I think it's monthly, right? Every time there's a new issue published, cover to cover. It's a great journal. By the way, I should point out that these scientists who did this research are based in Iran. So I'm not sure that that might have something to do with the fact that they don't want you kissing. Because I think that's a no-no in Iran, right? You can't do that. It's among the things that they is forbidden in Iran by the fundamentalists there. So they may have a vested interest in discouraging kissing. But there you go. Kissing, they say, could spread depression and anxiety. So, all right then. I would think that it would have something to do with who you were kissing. Might have something to do with that. But here is some good news. If that has you, if that research has you depressed and anxious, here is some good news. A study conducted by Harvard University has revealed that consuming at least one cup of caffeinated coffee daily can lead to healthier aging. But there are some qualifiers here. In women. Only in women, apparently. Researchers, well, I don't know if this is limited to women, but the researchers, it said, tracked data from over 47,000 women over the course of 30 years. Now, whether they also tracked men or not, I have no idea. It doesn't say that in the story. It says women. What they found through this massive, long, wide-ranging and long-running research is that each additional cup of coffee per day improved the chances of maintaining physical and cognitive health by 5%. So essentially, the more you drink, the better you are in terms of healthier aging. Conversely, and it's coffee now, we're not talking about other caffeinated drinks, because daily consumption of soda was associated with a 19% lower chance of aging healthily. So coffee, not soda or other forms of caffeine. Study highlighted the benefits of moderate coffee intake in disease prevention, mobility, and mental sharpness, emphasizing the importance of combining coffee consumption with other healthy habits like regular exercise and a balanced diet. So, but again, only in women. Only in women. I don't know. The research apparently does not make any conclusion if it's the same in men. They only looked at women. So there you go, ladies. Have another cup of coffee. You're going to be just fine. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, getting through graduation season. I think the class of 2025 now have their diplomas in hand, and they're facing a challenging job market as entry-level hiring is down and uncertainty looms due to all of the economic factors that we're dealing with respect to trade, AI advancements, making for a big question mark in the labor market. Recent college graduates are experiencing higher unemployment rates compared to the national average. This is for young adults between the ages of 22 and 27. Despite the overall resilience of the job market, entry-level job opportunities have decreased by 23% since March of 2020, so right around the time that the pandemic hit. So post-pandemic, entry-level job opportunities are down by 23%. And economists warn that the current job market is the toughest for new college grads in years. With the risks posed by AI, experts advise students to focus on industries with growth potential, like healthcare and education. Not that those industries won't be touched by AI, but they will certainly need more individuals because they are growing industries and there are things that you do in those industries that AI can't currently and won't soon be able to replicate. Parents and graduates alike are feeling the pressure of navigating a competitive job market with limited opportunity. Kind of interesting. Maybe not what recent grads want to hear, but a realistic picture of what the employment scene looks like for recent college grads. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly to mostly sunny today. It'll be hazy and breezy with a high in the middle 80s. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 70. Property taxes have become an issue for many Ohio homeowners, and a proposed solution is being debated at the State House.
Ohio lawmakers are considering a circuit breaker program to provide relief for homeowners in the Buckeye State. A funded circuit breaker program would provide relief to residents whose property taxes exceed 5% of their income. The credit would be limited to $1,000 per year for Ohioans making less than $60,000 a year. The Legislative Service Commission estimates the program would cost the state almost $900 million a year. 29 states, plus the District of Columbia, have such programs in place now.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Findlay Mayor Christina Murn updated the City of Findlay Parks and Recreation Board on the proposed downtown recreation area project. Mayor says over the past 3 years, the city has been working diligently to advance plans for recreational enhancements within the planned Phase 2 benching area. A video rendering of the proposed downtown recreation area can be seen in the story on our website, giving residents an opportunity to better understand the proposal and share their feedback. The city aims to proceed with design and engineering over the next 6 to 9 months. Raise the Bar Hancock County is celebrating another graduating class of its Work Advanced Training Program and says this class came with a big first. All 5 participants completed all 27 training modules. Only 13 are required for graduation. This means every graduate is eligible to sit for the Certified Manufacturing Associate Exam, a nationally recognized credential that opens doors to high-quality manufacturing careers.
It's such an exciting time to be in the Findlay-Hancock County community, especially when it comes to those who are seeking employment with good-paying jobs and employers who are very much invested in developing people professionally and personally.
That's Raise the Bar Executive Director Tricia Valesque. Learn more about their Work Advanced Training Program in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
By the way, I should mention this. The Findlay Civic Concert Band actually has their first show of the season this evening. Not at the park, where they will be next week for the kickoff of the Riverside Summer Concert Series, but we'll be at the portico at St. Michael's Church on Bright Road. If the weather does not cooperate, and it's looking pretty encouraging, but should the weather not cooperate, we won't cancel. We'll just move inside. So just want to pass that along. That show will happen tonight at 7 o'clock, one way or the other. Hopefully outside. We'll see what Mother Nature has to say about all of that. Speaking of outdoor events, the Findlay Parks and Recreation Department wants to keep you active and wants you to keep active, keep healthy this summer, as they always do. Big emphasis on getting outdoors. And to that end, the first of the Summer Connect events is coming up this week with fun for the entire family. And Lisa Mansfield from the Findlay Parks and Rec Department with us in the studio this morning. Lisa, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it. It's like great weather for the first of the Summer Connect events, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
And I know that this is, you are not the only ones involved in this.
Right.
And not all of them will be held in the parks, but a number of them will. And you have a lot of things that are planned to, again, get people active and healthy this
year. Yes. Summer. Yeah. Yeah. So this year we were partnering with the Findlay Hancock Public Library and the Hancock Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thought was, is, you know, we're all trying to reach these same young people. We want health and wellness education,
mm-hmm.
Which the public health can provide.
Yeah.
We want the literacy, which the library can provide.
Right.
And then we want the activities that we can provide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, why are we all working separately when we can all come together and collaborate, put a schedule together where we can try and reach all of these kids in one piece, you know, one thing together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go out into their neighborhoods. Some of them don't have the abilities to get from point A to point B during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings us right to them to be able to provide all these things that gives them something to do during these beautiful summer days.
And, you know, one of the other things that I've always liked about this particular series, I mean, in the past when you did the Fun and Games series at the various parks, is it brings people to maybe some parks that they don't often
yes.
visit or
yeah.
didn't even realize were there.
Right.
So, yeah.
We have great parks. You know, we have a lot of great parks throughout Findlay in all the different neighborhoods, and we encourage people to take advantage of them. You know, they're there for a reason, and you know, as kids, we always got out there and used them freely. And
right.
And I think sometimes, you know, with all the devices and things, people forget about that.
Sure.
And, you know, we like to showcase those. So to be able to bring these events into those parks, you know, this year we're able to take advantage of the Wise East Branch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got some outdoor space there, and we're willing to have us come and participate there to kind of hit a different neighborhood that we really haven't been able to get into before because
mm-hmm.
we don't have a park right there.
Yeah.
So that was helpful. You know, the Gateway Church down on North Main. You know, just some different spaces.
Mm-hmm. And so tomorrow's event, this first event, is going to be at Bernard Park.
Correct.
So talk a little bit about what you'll have going on.
So we're just going to have some different activities, probably an obstacle course. You know, the health department will be there with the mobile clinic to be able to provide some of those different services. And then, you know, the library with their piece with the different books and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, free books
yeah,
for the kids, too. So,
yeah.
And this, like we said, is designed to be fun for all ages.
Yes. Yeah, we want to see the families coming out. You know, we find that the more that parents are involved, the more active the kids are.
Yeah.
You know, we learn from our parents
mm-hmm.
and we mimic what we see. So, you know, when you see those families coming out and they're all participating together, it's a fantastic thing.
And it fosters the, you know, family togetherness, things, families doing things together.
Yes.
I think that's another thing we don't do maybe enough of anymore.
Right. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's great to see families come out and, you know, the parents encouraging the young ones teasing the parents if they can do it. You know, we love to
yeah.
see that,
yeah.
you know, we kind of poke the bear like, oh, can you do it faster than dad? You know,
there you go.
It's great.
So tomorrow is the first one. And then are they all on Thursdays?
It varies a little bit.
Okay.
We do have the morning time periods, the 9, we actually have a little typo there. One says PM, but they're 9 AM to noon.
Okay.
In the different mornings. We are going to look to add some additional ones. We just don't have them scheduled out yet.
Okay.
Some more pop-ups in the park, so to speak.
Very good.
Where we'll be going out and doing some different events that will probably be in the evenings. And
okay. Very good. And so 9 a.m. to noon at Bernard Park for the first of the Summer Connect series. And we have a link for more information about it and the various locations. You'd be at West Park and Emory Adams, Riverside. You mentioned the East Branch of the Y, Gateway Church, and the Family Center.
Yes.
Also during the course of the series. But we've got the link up at our webpage, goodmornings.net. That's not the only thing that you've got going on.
No. We also have our annual play ball with the mayor. That'll be coming up on July 16th. And that's going to be from 5:15 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be out at the Miracle Park. You know, so it's the all-inclusive park. So we include everybody. We want everybody to come out, no matter what the ability level, to participate. And that's actually prior to one of the Sluggers baseball games that's coming up here.
Talk about a reason to get out to the park.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we have that Miracle Field there. You come out, participate, and then the whole family can go catch a Sluggers game afterwards.
Absolutely. Doesn't get any more American than that in the summertime.
No, no.
And then other things that are going on throughout the course of the summer?
Yeah, so, you know, like this weekend, there's the Bicycle Rodeo. A couple weeks, we have Camp 911. The Keep Active group will be out at all of those participating.
Okay.
You know, the National Night Out with the police and the emergency services at the park in August. We'll just be around at a lot of different things, trying to get kids to participate.
I'm going to see you out and about all summer long, encouraging folks to keep active and keep healthy this summer. Again, as we mentioned, we've got a link for more information about the Summer Connect series, everything else that's going on, and just what opportunities are available to the parks. Because as we mentioned, it doesn't have to be one of these organized events. Parks are open all the time. So.
The parks are open. We have great trails, you know, the walking paths around the different parks, pickleball, there's basketball hoops, tennis courts, ball diamonds. If you just want to go play a pickup game, it doesn't have to be something that we're participating in. We just want to see you guys out there and taking advantage of them.
Enjoying all of that outdoor space this summer. Again, Lisa Mansfield with the Findlay Parks and Recreation Department with us this morning. Lisa, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate
it.
And now to your health this morning. Stroke Month, National Stroke Month, is actually in the month of May, so we're a bit late on this, but certainly strokes don't just happen in May. They can happen to anyone at any time. In fact, nearly 800,000 Americans will suffer a stroke this year, and while treatment options have certainly come a long way, recognizing the early signs can make all the difference in how effective those options can be. And with us this morning from Tulane University School of Medicine is neurosurgeon Dr. Kendrick Johnson. Dr. Johnson, let's kind of step back here. Talk a little bit about what stroke is, how common is it, sort of lay out the basics for us here.
Good morning. So stroke is actually a very common disease. Like you said, around 800,000 Americans every year have a stroke. And it's estimated that every 40 seconds, someone in the United States has a stroke. And unfortunately, every 3 minutes, someone dies from stroke. Very simply stated, stroke is just a disruption of blood flow to the brain, whether that's from a blood clot, which is a majority of strokes, which blocks blood flow to one area of the brain, or leaking of blood from a blood vessel, which causes bleeding into the brain.
So, and my understanding is this is especially becoming a growing concern among younger people. We typically think of this as affecting people more so as they age, but more and more cases of younger people experiencing strokes is a growing concern.
That is exactly the case. The incidence of stroke in younger patients is definitely going up. And honestly, stroke can happen at any age group, all the way from infancy, all the way up to the elderly, although our risk of stroke does go up as we get older, but it can happen to anyone at any time.
So, as we mentioned, recognizing the early signs makes all the difference in the world. What are the symptoms that people should be watching for, including, you say, maybe some that people wouldn't expect?
So this is honestly the most important part of our conversation, is recognizing the signs and symptoms of stroke and knowing what to do when those things happen. So when we educate our patients, what we do is tell them about the acronym FAST, F-A-S-T, where F stands for facial drooping, one side of the face drooping down or not. A stands for arm weakness, one arm weaker than the other. The same goes for the legs. S stands for speech difficulty, with difficulty producing or understanding speech. And T stands for time, meaning that if you've experienced those signs and symptoms of stroke, it's time to call 911 right away.
So we talked about the fact that advancements in treatment for stroke have come a long way over the past generation or two. What are some of the biggest advancements we've seen with respect to treatment?
So Stroke is one of the leading causes of death and disability in the United States, so it's a great area of innovation with regards to medical and also procedural treatment. All the way from the clot-busting medicine that you can get into the IV when you go to the emergency room, all the way up to what brought me to this space is a procedure called mechanical thrombectomy. What that means is that if you get to our hospital in time, we minimally invasively go inside the blood vessels and snake a small tube or catheter all the way up to the blood vessels in the brain where the blockage is. We either pull that clot out or suck that clot out, and that essentially stops the stroke in its tracks. And that helps patients recover much more readily from their stroke and potentially even completely.
Yeah. Key word in that phrase, if you get to the hospital on time. So again, referencing what we were talking about, being aware of the symptoms and acting immediately.
That's exactly the case. The sooner you get to us, the more treatment options we have, and also the more of your brain that we can save. Because as each minute goes by, millions of brain cells die. So the sooner you can get to us, the better.
Now, we mentioned that this can happen to anyone at any time, and there is growing concern about those in younger age groups who are experiencing stroke. So we always have to be on alert to this. Are there things that people can do to lower their risk?
So taking care of your health, honestly, working with a medical doctor, keeping your blood pressure under control, stop smoking if you smoke, that's a big factor, getting your cholesterol under control, and if you have diabetes, make sure it's well controlled, and also increasing your activity. Those are the biggest things we can do for ourselves to help mitigate the risk of stroke.
And a lot of those things will obviously not only lower our stroke risk, but lower our risk of any number of diseases. So certainly a point well taken as well. Again, neurosurgeon Dr. Kendrick Johnson with us from the Tulane University School of Medicine. Where do we get more information?
So I partnered with a company called Penumbra, one of the leaders in the neurovascular space, and they have great resources on their website, which is penumbrainc.com/stroke. And you can go there for some great education on stroke awareness and research. Also, if you Google the term no stroke, K-N-O-W stroke, the NIH, the National Institute of Health, and the Center for Disease Control also have great resources for stroke education and awareness.
Dr. Johnson, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A man from Charlottesville, Virginia, has been charged with vandalism after creating a makeshift crosswalk at a dangerous intersection in the city. There wasn't a crosswalk, apparently, so he made his own. Kevin Cox took matters into his own hands after pleading with the city for a crosswalk at a particular intersection, I guess, that he frequented. A street that he regularly traversed had no crosswalk, but no avail. He tried to get the city to install a crosswalk. They wouldn't. And so he used a line marker and spray chalk to create his own crosswalk. He said the crosswalk was needed to address the issue of speeding cars and drivers ignoring pedestrians. The city deemed the crosswalk markings as vandalism because they could not determine if he used permanent paint. Not allowed to do that. You can't just create your own crosswalk. So they charged him with vandalism. City staff painted over the crosswalk with black paint. Mr. Cox ended up turning himself into police when he found out there was a warrant for his arrest. He is now facing misdemeanor charges, which could result in fines and, believe it or not, up to 12 months in jail. So, I mean, we're not kidding around here. I wonder if they could charge him with jaywalking since the crosswalk was not official. Think about that. But yeah, 12 months in jail. So if you were thinking about creating your own crosswalk at a... Don't do that. You get in a lot of trouble, apparently. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, a mother in North Carolina has been arrested and charged with assaulting a school employee after an incident at her daughter's middle school. So here's the story. Mariah Hector, age 33, was called to Randolph Middle School in Charlotte earlier this way. Well, I guess early last month. According to an affidavit, Ms. Hector became hostile during the meeting and was asked to leave. Instead, she allegedly pushed past an employee, shoved the school principal into a wall, and then grabbed the assistant superintendent by the neck, attempting to choke her. Wow. That's nice. The school had to be placed on lockdown while Ms. Hector was taken into custody. The whole thing started when she was called to an incident involving her daughter who was involved in a fight. I can't imagine. That's hard to believe that this woman's daughter might misbehave in some way, that her daughter might be involved in a fight. What a shock. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, apparently. Alrighty. This from the International File, the broken news. The National Museum of the Netherlands. It is the Rijksmuseum. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's the National Museum of the Netherlands. Has announced a new exhibit featuring a condom dating back to the year 1830. That's the new exhibit at the National Museum of the Netherlands. The museum says the prophylactic is probably made from a sheep's appendix and features a what they describe it as erotic etching depicting a nun and three clergymen. All right. What in the world? The curator of the museum says it embodies both the lighter and darker sides of sexual health in an era when the quest for pleasure was fraught with fears of unwanted pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases, especially syphilis. What I want to know is, are they selling replicas in the gift shop? I really hope not. Moving on. Here's our daily dose of fun from Florida. In Ocala, an 81-year-old woman faces charges after allegedly pepper spraying her neighbors, including two young girls. Ada Anderson faces multiple battery charges and is accused of yelling racial slurs during the incident last week. The children's mother says this is not the first time that Ms. Anderson has targeted them. She was released on bond and denied any wrongdoing. The whole thing started when the girls were blowing bubbles. They were playing with their bubble maker. And apparently that annoyed the 81-year-old neighbor, who then assaulted, pepper sprayed them, and yelled racial epithets over bubble play. The family is now seeking a restraining order against their neighbor, and they are looking to move. Probably a good idea. Gee, man. I mean, get off my lawn is one thing, but that takes it to an extreme. It's not good. And lastly here, in the broken news this morning, from the woman who you would not want to be your neighbor, the neighbor from hell, to a woman you would love to have as your neighbor, Wilma Bennett of Henderson, Texas, is sharing the secret to a long life. And apparently she's 102 years old. So she knows. And apparently, the secret to a long life, according to Wilma, is a steady diet of Dr. Pepper and Cheetos. That's right. The secret to a long life is the diet of a cash-strapped college student. Wilma tells local news reporters that she's stayed kicking for over a century thanks to drinking Dr. Pepper and eating bags of Cheetos. You have to have both, she says. You can't just do one or the other. You have to have both. Now, Ms. Bennett's granddaughter, Lisa Davidson, isn't buying her grandmother's story. She says she lived on a ranch and ate good vegetables out of the garden and beef that they grew themselves through most of her life. She says her and my grandpa have had a great relationship and a great time on the ranch. There was just lots of family, love, support, and church. I would imagine that might have something more to do with it than the Dr. Pepper and the Cheetos. But hey, why risk it? I mean, if that's what she says, I'm willing to give it a try. Dr. Pepper and Cheetos. There you go. The secret to a long life. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchek. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. A new survey reveals a significant spike in cannabis consumption among senior citizens in the United States. This is interesting. Maybe a bit surprising, approximately 7% of adults age 65 and older reported using marijuana within the past month, marking a 46% increase from 2021, when the figure was just 4.8%. So 7% is not, you know, super high, but it is a huge increase over the past 3 or 4 years. The data showed that while men still had higher rates of marijuana use, the increase was even more pronounced among women. Additionally, the biggest uptick in the highest income bracket, with adults earning over $75,000 annually, going from the lowest use rate in their category in 2021 to the highest use rate in their category in these latest numbers. Experts attribute much of this surge to the growing legalization of cannabis across the country, but the researchers also pointed out significant associations between increased marijuana use and various chronic medical conditions, chronic pain, cancer, even heart problems, diabetes, hypertension, leading to more seniors using the wacky weed. Celebrating history with a twist, among other things, in the month of June at the Hancock Historical Museum. Sarah Foltz is here to tell us what's happening. You actually get the month started tomorrow. Brown Bag Lunch Lecture Series. What is the Brown Bag this month?
We have our friend Melvin Barnes from Ohio Humanities coming back.
Okay.
He did one of our lectures last year, and we received so many compliments. He was so great to work with, so I'm excited to have him back tomorrow. And he is presenting Frenemies, a history of U.S.-China relations from Nixon to now.
Interesting.
Yes, and he is just such an impressive expert, and so I think this is going to be something that's relative to literally everyone.
Yeah, and certainly very much yes, in the news right now, so very mm-hmm. relevant to yes, what we are hearing about. And I think not only from a historical background, but to put some perspective on some of what we hear about in the news today.
Exactly. So, yeah. And he does such a great job of, you know, really helping, you know, if you just don't feel like global policy, or you just don't feel educated. Yeah. And this is a great step in that direction, what, too, for all ages.
Not everybody is well-versed in global economic policy.
Right.
Yeah, it's a surprise. But breaking that down into mm-hmm. sort of easy to understand
yeah,
chunks.
Yeah, yeah,
that's really good. So that is tomorrow.
Tomorrow
at noon.
Noon, yes. Yep.
And it is free for members.
That's correct.
For those who aren't.
Yep, no registration necessary. If you're a member of the museum, you can come right on in. And then it's just regular admission into the museum for non-members. And also the museum campus is open, so you can hang out afterwards if you'd like and explore.
Say, yeah, mm-hmm. And check out all that is new at the museum. And you yeah, do have new stuff at the museum, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the 90s exhibit yet, that is up. And then also one of our newest exhibits, we're putting on some final touches. Waiting for for a couple things to show up, but it is looks really, really cool, and you can see it now, Miller's Luncheonette exhibit.
Yeah. So the big event this month is History with a Twist.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about this. It's a fundraiser and an awful lot of fun.
Yeah. This actually started a few years ago, and it went on a hiatus once COVID hit, and we're so excited to finally bring it back. And it's just a beautiful outdoor event for the 21 and up crowd right on the museum ground. So it's Saturday, June 14th, and it's 4 to 7. So it's not a whole day commitment. And basically, we have 8 really enthusiastic bars here locally that are competing for the title of Grand Champion or People's Choice. So they have crafted a cocktail specifically for this event. No one has tried it yet. And all the attendees of History with a Twist can sample their sample sizes that you can go through. We'll have appetizers. We have live music. Jason Wagner and Ryan Parker will be there. And it's just a really fun afternoon at the museum, and it supports our mission.
So these craft cocktails are original creations.
Yes.
And they kind of have a bit of a theme tie-in with the whole history sort of thing.
Yes, they've always, through this event, have had kind of the only requirement is making sure that whether it's through presentation, title, ingredients, it ties back to local, regional history. This year, we wanted to complement our 90s exhibit, so we're having a really fun time going through the inspiration of 90s nostalgia. So I'm not going to share the cocktails. You have to see them at the event, but we have the recipes in, the names, the presentation. Everything is going to be so, so cool.
So you're going to be serving Zima?
That was a conversation we had, and we thought, you know, maybe we don't do traditional 90s drinks, but we will make even better ones themed after.
Yeah, well, it'd be hard not to after that. But that is June 14th.
Yes, tickets are on sale on our website or at the museum. Some of the participating bars you'll see right on our website, they're selling them as well. They have a little friendly competition going on because the more tickets the participating bars sell, the more votes they get to win the People's Choice.
Ah, okay.
So they are having a friendly competition. You can check it out on our website, learn all the details.
All right, so bragging rights on the line for this. Tickets, as you said, are on sale now. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the month, you've got another classic movie night coming, and this month's classic movie night is kind of tied into the whole summer thing.
Exactly. We're going right into the summer, and we are featuring State Fair on Friday, June 20th. That starts at 7 o'clock. That is completely free to the public to attend. We provide the popcorn. You're welcome to bring your own beverages.
And feel free to sing along.
Right.
So
that is some of my favorite movie nights. All the movies that we have played that have songs in audience always sings along, and it is so fun.
It's like a classic movie and karaoke night.
Right.
If you will.
Combine the two.
Yeah. And again, that is a free event.
Yes, completely free.
So all of those, more details on all of those happenings at the Hancock Historical Museum are posted on the website right now. So you can find them at our webpage. We've got the link up. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, always good time to visit the museum. You're open all summer long.
We are open all summer long. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday afternoons, 1 to 4. And if you happen to have a group and you need to come in a different time, please give us a call. We want to be as accommodating as possible. And if you don't make it up until then, we were just talking before we went live that the 4th of July is going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
And we definitely invite everyone to the museum right after the 4th of July parade because we have our traditional ice cream social.
Big ice cream social. Yes. And so that's always an awful lot of fun. Right after the parade draws a huge crowd. And the museum is open that day, too.
Absolutely. So. And we also have activities for the kids. Mm-hmm. So you hang out all over campus, check out the museum. It's a great day.
It is a good thing. And that's one of the reasons I bring it up, the museum open all summer, because if you're looking for something to do with the kids, it's always kind of interesting. Great way to get them interested in some of the history of the town that they live in.
That's exactly right. And we have a scavenger hunt for kids, too. I think a lot of people don't realize in our exhibit center. If you participate in the scavenger hunt, the kids receive a free book to take home. So it's not even that you have to have all the answers right, but it's a fun way to guide you through the exhibit center, and then you'll go home with a free book.
Very cool. So if you're looking for something to do with the kids at some point this summer, just drop on by. Mm-hmm. And you can purchase memberships too anytime. You mentioned that you've got membership discounts and things like Brown Bag and some of the other events.
Absolutely. There's no bad time to sign up for a membership, but right now with all these events coming up, History with a Twist, Brown Bag Lectures, later in the year, we'll have the Holiday Historic Homes Tour in December. All of those have discounted ticket prices for members. So sign right up or come visit us. We'll help you.
Again, go to our webpage for more information about all of the things happening in the month of June and beyond at the Hancock Historical Museum. And once again, Sarah Foltz with us this morning. Sarah, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That is goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we'd appreciate you leaving us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. It'll help other folks find the show as well. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.